Welcome to the Beyond Sunday podcast with your host, Benjamin Chapin, and today is episode 4. Today, I want to talk to you, the one or ones who feel invisible, the ones who are caring for their families, going to work, going to church, but they don't feel like what they are doing matters. Maybe you dream of going on a faraway mission trip to the remote regions of the world, maybe somewhere in Africa, China. Maybe you think if you just did that, maybe you get over this empty feeling inside of you. This feeling that everything that you're doing in life, it doesn't matter. Or maybe you're someone who is just going through the motions of life every day, and you don't feel like there's any real purpose in what you're doing. It's kind of depressing, isn't it? I don't know what your story is, but I do know there's God-sized purpose in every single thing that you do in life. From laundry to boardrooms, I know that what you do matters to God. And it matters in God's plan, not only for your life, but for the lives around you and for humanity. Before we get into today's message, I felt led to share something with you. This is for the one who feels tired, who feels weary of doing the right things and not feeling purpose in it. It's a word from God that I believe will encourage your heart right now. Listen to this. Galatians 6:9, New King James Version. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. New Living Translation. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. It might feel like what you're doing doesn't matter, but it does. Keep doing it. Keep doing the good things, the right things. Today's message is entitled, Begotten, Not Forgotten. As I sought God on what to speak about today, I was led to the very first chapter of Matthew. I asked God where to begin, and he said, start at the beginning. I said, Lord, it's just a list of names, a genealogy of Jesus. It's great and all, but there's not much I can get from this, is there? And I got quiet. I got quiet and I listened for my Father's voice, my Heavenly Father. I'll pause here for a second and just say that I don't think we get quiet enough. It's important. Yes, we have requests, and yes, we have prayers and things that we need to talk to God about so he can get the ball rolling. But how often do we get quiet? Ask yourself that. Continuing on. After a little bit of time getting quiet, something that my earthly father said came ringing into my mind. Oh, he said it so many times when he was alive. You see, my dad and I, we would talk about the Bible a lot, mostly because I brought it up. But still, he'd always be open to chat and talk with me about whatever was on my heart. We would talk about Jesus, talk about Moses, Abraham, all these amazing pillars of faith throughout Scripture. But then he would frequently come to this point in our conversations. He'd say, you know what, son? I'm a begotten. The first time he said it, I was confused. I didn't really, remember the passage in the Bible that mentions it, and I had no idea what he was talking about. I said, Dad, what are you talking about, man? You're a begotten? I don't know what you mean by that. And then he explained. He explained that he's just a name in a list of names in human history. He told me that God had a plan for my life and that God would accomplish his will through me. But for him, begotten. You see, my father, Joseph Chapin, You can go Google his name right now, but you won't find much. You won't find articles or news stories or headlines or anything of that nature on Google. You'd be lucky to find his obituary, honestly. And when he passed away, you didn't hear about it on the evening news. There wasn't a stadium full of people at his funeral. There was no headline on the newspaper. Nobody posted about it on social media. And he knew that would happen, and he was okay with it. In his own words, he called himself a begotten, and he held a peace about that that I still admire today. And it's why I'm entitled this message today, Begotten, Not Forgotten. Before we zero in on one begotten in Matthew chapter 1 in particular, I want to specifically share what begotten means. The definition is simple: brought into existence by, basically a parent to somebody. Jesus was God's only begotten Son, our Savior. And you can see that in John 3:16, where he's referred to as begotten Son. Okay, if you look at today's text, Matthew 1:1-17, you see the genealogy, you see the list of names. A handful, you have heard plenty of sermons, plenty of Sunday school lessons on, but the rest, those are the begottens. This list in particular is a genealogy of Jesus Christ. These people were important individuals. Make no confusion about it. They aren't the only important people to God. You see, God sees you folding laundry. God sees you stuck in traffic when you're trying to pick up your son from football practice. Whatever it is that might seem insignificant, he sees you. He loves you. And what you're doing is right and good. And God has a plan for you. And you are part of his story that stretches across human history. I mentioned John 3:16 a little bit ago. Let me mention it again for you. Listen. For God so loved the world, that includes you, that he gave his only begotten Son. You see that? Begotten. Jesus was God's only begotten. And he gave him up to have a relationship with you and I. Whew, that's heavy. The reality is God cares. He does. Even when you can't see him care, maybe you can't feel him. But he not only cares, he's near. And he keeps a record of what you're doing. Those good things, he sees them. And your name's written down. It is. The Bible covers something like 1,500 years of human history, I think. And the reality is there's been millions, if not billions, of people through that history up till this point. And their lives, we don't know the majority of them. And the big characters at play that we read about and learn about, they're little snippets of these people's lives. They're little moments. There's maybe around 20 big names in the Bible, big story names that we know about, right? Isn't that amazing that the majority of people don't ever have a story written about them in the Bible? And the ones that do have the stories, they're just little drop-ins. Big moments, but little drop-ins. There's a lot to life. And there's a lot that God is working on in your life and in my life. And those little details that we think don't matter, they do. We have to remember that we are loved, and we are cared for, and we are seen. We are the begottens, pretty much. All right, now let's dive into today's lesson. Today, I want to talk about one begotten in this list of begottens in Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to butcher his name, but I'm so sorry to him and his family. I guess. I don't know. His name is Abinabadab. Okay. When was the last time you heard a message on this guy? Here, I'll answer it for you. Probably never. But his name appears in this genealogy of Jesus Christ found in Matthew chapter 1. Specifically, he's in verse 4. His father, Ram, who was most likely born in Egypt and died in Egypt, along with himself. He probably died there too. His son was Nashon, who is named as leading the tribe of Judah out in the wilderness after the Exodus. You can find that in Numbers chapter 1, verse 7. Interesting enough, Nashon is another person in the Bible that doesn't have a lot mentioned. But we do have some details on him, and I think that will show us and tell us a lot about his dad, Abinadab. I want to share a couple points with you about Abinadab. The first point is, through great difficulty, true faith endures. Let's take a look at Exodus chapter 1, verses 11 through 14 to get a feel for what life was like for him and his family during this time. Okay. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick, in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. Take a moment and close your eyes and try to picture. Well, don't close your eyes if you're driving. Don't do that. But close your eyes for a moment and think of what that was like to live in. Abinadab was born during this time. It was a terrible time. Hard. Difficult. He was born into oppression and slavery. I can only imagine little Abinadab growing up and watching his relatives, his parents, everybody in this thick, difficult time. The oppression and the heartache had to be incredible. The Bible doesn't go into great detail about exactly who was doing what during this time as far as the workloads go. But I don't think the fact that his father Ram, being the head of Judah, really mattered when it came to the slavery. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. I don't know. But I can picture little Abinadab sitting on the floor looking at his father as he would come home, worn out, tired, and just depressed. Can you imagine being in that environment all day, every day? And Ram was born directly into it. Nashon and Abinadab born into it. It'd be hard. It had to be difficult to be a child in those days, to grow up in those days. The only thing you had to look forward to was when you were able-bodied enough to start being a slave. Think about that difficulty. The weight and the oppression and the lack of any hope in the near future had to be a mental struggle every day for these people. This went on for a while. Just to remind you, they spent roughly 430 years in this bondage. And yet, in the midst of all this difficulty, all this trying times and hardship, there remained a remnant, a thread of hope, a thread of faith, and a thread of belief that God was still good and he would one day rescue them. And Abinadab, despite the difficulty and hardship he was born into, was able to pass something beautiful on to his son Nahshon. And the evidence of that is Nahshon himself and the couple mentions he has. Which brings me to the next point. Faithfulness leaves a mark. Abinadab had very little mention in the Bible text as a whole, but his son had a little bit more. Not much, but a little bit. Numbers chapter 1, verse 7 tells us that Nahshon was the leader of the tribe of Judah in the wilderness at the first census. He took the leadership position sometime after his father had passed. That's usually how it worked. We don't really know when the death was of Abinadab, but the fact that his son is named as leader indicates that he's gone. Maybe right before the Exodus, maybe during the Exodus, something like that. Regardless, he ain't there to see his tribe have him named a leader. It was a future promise that he had to trust and rely on. And he successfully prepared his son Nahshon not only to lead the tribe of Judah, but to live and act in accordance to God, in at least in the recorded actions we find in the Bible with Nahshon. Nahshon didn't make it to the promised land. He was part of the generation that had to die. But we do see some stuff with Nahshon. We know, for instance, he spent some time around Aaron, the high priest, and Moses' brother. Nahshon, his sister, and Abinadab's daughter, Elishaba, she married Aaron. So I don't know what customs were back then and how things worked or anything like that, but if people are getting married, you're spending time around people. And I think that points to an important reality that was brought up the other day on the podcast by my guest, Miriam Osborne. She was talking about how important people influence you in your life. Like she mentioned friends and the people around you influencing you to do good or bad things. And I think that's so important. And the fact that Nahshon spent some time, I don't know how much time or anything, it's not spelled out in the Bible, but the fact that the sister is involved with Aaron and got married, there was some time. And I believe that Abinadab, he built that into his son to hang out with godly people. You know, you got to remember when they came out of Egypt, there was millions of people coming out of the land and traveling together, and it was a big moment, and they didn't need to be around the high priest, right? So maybe there's something there to that story. I don't know. It's just a guess. It's not in the Bible. And then another awesome thing we see in Numbers chapter 7, verse 12, we see Nahshon provide the first offering during the dedication of the tabernacle. So the tabernacle, if you recall, God basically gave Moses a lot of instructions on how to put this thing together. And they got it completed finally. And who stepped up first? Nahshon. Nahshon stepped up first and offered the first offering. And it's, you think about his dad, Abinadab. What a moment in his son's life that he didn't get to see. But he kept those visions of the future, knowing that God would deliver them. He had to have kept that on his mind as he was raising his son, because the son could have just peaced out, right? Like, we don't know. We don't know the full story there. And it's amazing to go through and read the history of some of these people. Nashon also was the first one to move every time they would pick up camp and go further in the wilderness and move. He was the first one. And, you know, you think about that dad, like, that would have been awesome for his dad to see. But his dad never got the chance to see it. And to tie this back to the beginning, talking about your actions, I think it's important that we all remember that even if we can't see the harvest, can't see the fruit, we do know that God is watching and that those seeds are being planted and God is creating that growth. We might never see the harvest, but we can rest knowing that God's got this, that He is doing something, and that it's not a waste of our time and energy and effort. And just remember Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. We can't lose heart. And just like Ram and Abinadab and even Nashon, they never saw the promised land. None of them. But they looked to the future and they knew the character of God and they knew His goodness would come through, and they trusted that. And just like God eventually came and saved the people of Israel through the Exodus and eventually the Promised Land, God did the same thing for each of us with Jesus Christ. And this whole list of names, it's not just a list of names. It's the descendants that lead all the way to our Savior. How much these people knew about their offspring eventually leading to Jesus, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't think they had a great idea about that, but they knew their salvation was dependent on God. They trusted God in His character, in Jesus dying on the cross for each of us, sacrificing His life so that God can have a relationship with us. It just mirrors the salvation that happened back when He led them out of the Egypt, right? And you might never go to Africa. You might never get that book. To New York Times best-selling status. But it doesn't matter. What matters is God sees and God responds to each of us. He loves you. He cares about you. And He cares about what you're doing. Remember that and be comforted knowing that He's with you every step of the way. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. I do want to ask, if this has encouraged you, please share it with someone who needs a little hope or encouragement. And be sure to follow the show so you don't miss what's next. You've been listening to the Beyond Sunday podcast with Benjamin Chapin. Remember, faith was never meant to stay inside church walls. See you next time.